You are listening to Mountain Escapes, a podcast that aims to connect backcountry enthusiasts with the stewards and caretakers of lodges throughout British Columbia, Canada. Each episode highlights a unique backcountry lodge in BC through a conversation with the lodge owner and or operator. Your host, Brad Harrison, has worked and adventured in remote settings his entire life. He's owned and operated lodges. He's guided guests and colleagues. He's provided avalanche skills training, and he is the executive director of the Backcountry Lodges of British Columbia Association. Here he is.
Hi there. Welcome to Mountain Escapes. I'm Brad Harrison. In this episode, I'm talking with a wonderful lodge owner and guide who grew up living the backcountry life and is now raising her family in a similar fashion. We'll hear about her experiences in BC's adventure tourism industry and about her ideas for its future. I hope you enjoy our conversation. I'll turn it over to her to introduce herself.
My name is Jasmine Caton, and I run Valhalla Mountain Touring, which is located near New Denver, BC, and we've been operating since 1978. Valhalla Mountain Touring is primarily a backcountry ski touring operation, but we also do offer hiking trips and yoga retreats as well. Valhalla Mountain Touring is one of the only backcountry lodges that you can take a snowcat to. So we don't use helicopters to access the lodge in the wintertime, which is fairly unique. We load our guests and all the equipment onto a snowcat and drive that to the lodge in the winter season. And then in the summer season, you can actually drive on a four-wheel drive logging road right up to the lodge. I think that allows for a little bit more flexibility in our trips. We are very family friendly. People can bring their kids and all the things that they need to bring with their kids to offer a family friendly experience. Secondly, we just have reliability in the wintertime for access. Anyone who's visited helicopter access lodges or other mountain trips would know that weather can sometimes be an issue. And so with the snowcat, we can generally offer really reliable access to and from the lodge. And even beyond that, we can offer people a late trip in or an early trip out if their work schedule or family situation doesn't allow them to come for the whole week using our snowmobiles. So I think that's one of the most unique things about Valhalla Mountain Touring.
Yes, that is very unique indeed. So Jasmine, thanks for joining me today. You and I have known each other for eons, and I knew your mom and dad well. I think you spent a lot of time growing up in the lodge, right?
The lodge came into my family when I was around 13 years old, but even prior to that, we spent some time up there as a family when I was a bit younger, backcountry skiing and just kind of enjoying the place while it was owned by the fellow who founded it. But yeah, starting when I was 13, my parents started running Valhalla Mountain Touring, and right from the get-go, it was really memorable family time. It really felt like paradise up there, deep snow, really cozy cabin. The cabin was very rustic back then. It's changed a lot since. But I really started to get a sense of what like life in the backcountry felt like, especially during those times when, you know, to life at the lodge was like you were hauling buckets of water from the creek. There was no power. You had little propane lanterns. Like it was just a really simple, beautiful, kind of nostalgic time. And yeah, I think it really settled in how special life could be up there in the mountains.
So those formative years, they obviously set you up well to run a lodge. Was there ever an aha moment where you thought, okay, I'm going to run this lodge, I'm going to manage it, and this is going to be my mission?
You know, it's interesting. I can't really place an aha moment. I think it came in stages for me. When I was 19 years old, I took a year off university and did some traveling. And in that winter that I was not at school, my parents hired me to be a custodian up at the lodge. And so I took my first professional level avalanche course and spent most of the whole winter actually living in a tiny little staff shack and taking care of the chores at the lodge. At around the same time, I started kind of loosely mentoring with the guides that were working for my parents. My parents aren't ski guides. So that time around guides started to plant the seed of like, oh, hey, maybe guiding would be a good place for me to end up someday. But I always had this kind of passion for my education. And it was only after I finished my master's in hydrogeology that I was like, okay, I really think that I know now for sure that I want to be a guide. And along with being a guide, I knew I had this amazing opportunity that then in my late 20s, I wasn't necessarily really ready for. Taking over the lodge was something I had to kind of like rise up to and kind of like meet the challenge of. In hindsight, I'm so grateful that I had all the support around me to like make that choice an obvious one, because at the time it felt like, whoa, you know, I'm so young and there's all these things I want to do. Is this how I want to dive in right now? But obviously now I look back and I'm like, whoa, imagine if I had said no to that. That would have been a grave error.
You might have been right. I remember when you worked for me as a teenager, it was pretty obvious to me back then that you'd be running your parents' lodge one day. So Jasmine, I'd love to hear about your experience being a woman in this male-dominated adventure tourism industry. Were there challenges that you faced or perhaps continue to face as a woman in your journey becoming a guide and a lodge operator?
That's a really great question, and one that definitely like I think about a lot, and especially now I work as an instructor in the guiding program. So I'm working on both ski guide exams and rock guide exams. And I really do reflect on my own experiences a lot, and hopes that the up and coming female guides will have good experiences, as I mostly did have as well. I feel like personally, I didn't experience much in the way of overt challenge. However, I do think there's, you know, these patterns and these biases and all of these things run really deep in our society, and for sure in our association of guides. And then, yeah, just in this mountain culture in general. I chose to have a family after I finished my rock guide and ski guide certifications. And I think that was a good choice, because I think definitely the unfortunate piece of this career and this lifestyle and being a mother is that it's hard to do both, especially when you're in that phase of building up your skills, building up your experience, taking the courses, all of those things. There's like a certain amount of inflexibility during that time where like the courses are at certain times and everything has to flow really smoothly. So that's something that I think helped for me. I think the Association of Canadian Mountain Guides and the culture of guiding kind of more broadly, it does feel like there's a lot of really positive change happening to welcome women more into the career path and to make it kind of safe for women to bring up issues that are arising and not feel that there will be any persecution or any punishment, even in very like slight ways, for bringing up some of the challenges that come. And yeah, so I think things are going in a great direction. It's nice to feel like I'm part of that. I think even when having more female instructors does just breed a culture of like welcoming and openness to female students. And I've also noticed that a lot of male students in the guide stream are very grateful to have both more female instructors, but also more female candidates, giving more balance within the courses and exams.
Thanks, Jasmine. I really and truly think you're an excellent role model for aspiring female guides. And I agree that it does feel like there is a bit of a change afoot. Do you think that being a female guide and lodge owner attracts or makes things more inviting for female guests?
I think that definitely plays into things for sure. It's like the culture of the lodge, which actually like predates me even being there, starting from when my parents ran the business as a couple, and then attracted a lot of guests who are couples and with couples also lots of women. So we've had kind of like largely like gender balanced groups, or very close to that from the get-go. And yeah, there's the odd all women's group or the odd all men's group, but compared to some of the other places I've worked in the industry, there isn't this real sense of like a male dominated clientele, and never has been. What I feel like I've contributed is maybe a little bit more of a focus towards women's only trips, which there are a lot of women who I get on the women's only trips that I offer who very likely wouldn't sign up for a mixed group trip. They just, for all a whole bunch of different reasons, just that wouldn't appeal to them or feel comfortable for them. I have it written right into the Valhalla Mountain Touring mission statement that like we are there to serve all the guests with all the abilities equally. It's not just the best skiers that should get all of our attention and we should try to give them the best experience. It's like everyone who shows up, we should do our best to give them the best experience we can. And that's just kind of something that I wanted to have be a real fundamental principle of the operation.
That's great. I like that. Now, Jasmine, you have twins. How old are they again?
They're 2.5. Yeah.
So I imagine that's a pretty full-time gig for you.
Yes, it is.
Do they end up spending a lot of time at the lodge?
Yes. Starting from when they were around one, we spent a ton of time at the lodge. They love it up there. I think they're really social kids. They thrive on the interaction with guests and other staff. And they love, of course, playing in the snow. I taught them how to ski on the snowcat road. It's exciting to think about the years to come and how, you know, initially they were going skiing in backpacks. This year they were on their own little skis. And then pretty soon they're going to be behind me on the skin track, and then they're going to be breaking trail for me. So it's one of the like biggest joys of my life is seeing them up there and then imagining the adventures we have still to come. It's a great place to have a family, but every single day that I'm there, I know how lucky I am as a guide, and especially as a female guide, to be able to be set up to take my kids to work with me. That is not a common thing, for sure.
This episode of Mountain Escapes is brought to you by White Cap Alpine. Choose your own adventure in the vast Coast Mountain wilderness. Join us in the summer for a leisurely stroll in the meadows, hiking spectacular alpine ridges, or a cool dip in an alpine lake. In the winter, you'll discover the peaks of Pemberton, as we're well positioned to bear the brunt of loaded snowstorms opening up massive terrain so you can make stories for days. Access Whitecap through Pemberton, BC, a short drive north of Vancouver. Learn more at whitecapalpine.ca. Whitecap Alpine is a proud member of the Backcountry Lodges of British Columbia Association.
So Jasmine, let's have a little chat about the business of operating Valhalla Mountain Touring. Do you find that the majority of your business now is in the summer or winter months?
Majority is winter for sure. Yes, by a big long shot. And that's something that I'm starting to work on shifting, although not shifting away from winter, but building up summer a little bit more.
Do you get a lot of guests that cross over between seasons, i.e. do the same guests come in the summer as in the winter?
There's a little bit of that for sure, but I would say not tons. Currently, that feels like the challenge with summer is that it's like accessing a different clientele, a different market altogether. I find my guests who come in the winter, a lot of them I'd say would be tend to do more mountain biking or climbing, mountaineering, things that are not such a focus of my operation in the summertime, although some of that I could see potentially happening in the future. But for right now, it does feel like it's like a different market entirely.
Do you find that there are specific or common themes that come up with your guests on why they prefer Valhalla Mountain Touring and why they may come back season after season?
For sure. Yeah, there definitely are common themes. The family feeling of the place, it feels like a family business. Everything from the way the lodge feels inside to the way the staff treat the guests and treat each other and know each other so well. We have a pretty small and tight-knit staff team with very low turnover. That all contributes to the guest experience in such a way that they just feel part of something when they're up there. Then, of course, the snow for winter. I mean, our pocket of the Valhallas, we get a lot of this like really pristine powder. I think that it's that snow quality that a lot of people are just like blown away by, even people that have visited many of the other lodges. So those are some of the big standout things. I think that when people show up, it's like their needs for skiing or their needs for meals or whatever it is. We really do try within reason to accommodate people's needs and to be good hosts and provide for people in a way that makes them feel comfortable and enjoy their time. We really endeavor to give everybody the best trip possible. And I think people go home feeling that.
So having been in and around this business for a few decades now, what changes or shifts have you noticed over that time?
I've really definitely noticed the guest demographic changing a lot, for sure, in winter primarily, where a bigger chunk of the skier population is interested in the human-powered experience. And that translates to younger and younger skiers are saying like, hey, like these trips to go ski touring, they're A, way cheaper than going heli skiing or cat skiing. And beyond even that, that's actually kind of what I want to do. So when I first started spending time at the lodge, a lot of our guests, I feel like, were on like skinnier skis. They weren't traveling as far in the terrain. Their ski skills were generally not as strong. Some of them were coming more from like a mountain travel or mountaineering background and less from like a, we want to ski runs, we want to ski steep stuff, we want to ski powder background. So now all the guests that come to the lodge are like generally pretty strong skiers and they want to ski. That's what they're there for. They don't want to just like walk around in the mountains. So that's a really big one. I think, you know, for sure the catered and guided trip being kind of the standard offering, although there's still plenty of lodges that offer lots of lodge rental trips. But at my lodge, a big shift from when my parents were running it in the 90s, when many groups would come and just rent the facility and do their own thing. And now I basically only offer a catered and guided experience where we just kind of like provide everything and guests just show up and get to enjoy the terrain. Those are some of the bigger shifts I've noticed.
And Jasmine, what about on the industry side of things? Has there been any positive or negative changes that have stood out to you?
I'd say positive. I mean, it's hard to sometimes tell if I'm noticing more now than back when I kind of started paying attention to this stuff. But I think that safety, let's take safety, let's take our practices as guides and guides meeting and communication and information sharing and avalanche forecasting and risk management, all these things that we do now. It feels like there's a lot of energy and attention going towards providing a safe experience or an experience with like the appropriate level of risk for any given group. And then I think like, yeah, the welcoming of all different people with all different abilities, you know, whether it's being more welcoming of female guests or being more, hopefully even shifting to our industry will become more welcoming of people of all races, all genders, and outdoor sports won't just be such like a white dominated thing as well. So lots of room for improvement, but I feel like the industry has shifted in a way that feels very positive to me, and that will continue.
So looking forward, what are some of your main goals or visions for Valhalla Mountain Touring?
One that I'm actively working on right now, which is growing and improving these summer offerings at Valhalla Mountain Touring, because it is geographically really stunning in the summer. Secondly, I have a dream for a second lodge. There's some really beautiful ski terrain that it's a long way to get there in a day from my current lodge, and we only get there rarely. So I'm hoping that by building a second lodge, I can offer more local employment and just kind of continue to enjoy the mountains and offer a really unique experience. I have definitely seen the gradual transition away from like a resource extraction based economy to one that is shifting towards tourism, but the shift is slow. I think we could do more and I want to do more. So there's this kind of like hand in hand thing of like by growing Valhalla Mountain Touring and by growing it in a way that also has like sustainability at the forefront of that growth, then I hope that both for the immediate community and then for like the future of my kids' generation, that I can contribute to something greater. I'm not a business person who really cares about money. So I do need to have that bigger vision that I'm focusing on. And so those are the kinds of things that guide me when I'm thinking about how I see the next 5, 10, 20 years of Valhalla Mountain Touring.
Jasmine, it's been awesome chatting with you and learning more about your background and business. You've been doing this for so long. I'm sure you have some amazing stories you can share with us. Anything fun or remarkable come to mind?
Anyone who's my age or older remembers the big Y2K New Year's. And I just remember being a 20-year-old hut custodian at VMT for Y2K when everyone thought the world was going to end. And all I can really remember about that New Year's was just like me and the entire group of guests at midnight doing a naked ski run on the little hill right in front of the lodge. And so that's the way I rang in this new millennium was with that. So that's kind of a funny VMT memory that gives you a sense of the good times that can happen up there when everything gets pretty silly.
That sounds like a ton of fun, Jasmine. Thanks again for joining me. It's been really great to hear about you and your business and just catch up generally. Also very interested in your thoughts on adventure tourism and where it's headed. Really appreciate your time, and we want you to take good care going forward.
Yeah, my pleasure. I appreciate the interest in what I'm up to at Valhalla Mountain Touring.
Hi, you've reached the voicemail for the Mountain Escapes podcast, My Best Backcountry Story. We're thrilled you called, and we're sorry to have missed you, but we're out making our own moments in the backcountry. Go ahead and tell us your soul-filling, heart-singing, stomach-dropping, mind-blowing, bestest backcountry story, and we'll throw it up on the pod. Thanks again, and keep them stories coming.
Hey, this is Lynette Nielsen calling from Salmon Arm, BC, and this is my favorite backcountry story. I managed to snag a solo spot last minute for a mid-January trip to Icefall Lodge, fully guided, fully catered. I didn't know anyone else that was going on the trip. I just knew the lodge owner and just, you know, hope for the best. So those 7 days were back-to-back fun from morning to night, like smiling as big as I could. It was probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. It was pretty big ski days, some challenging terrain, but it was so fulfilling. At the end of the day, an incredible ski day, you come back to the lodge, have some après, which was so delicious. You'd hit the sauna, you'd shower, and then you'd go back to the lodge for a little bit of mingling, maybe some drinks, and then head into your room, which was like white duvets, cozy in, and then restarted all over again in the morning. Oh, I must say, the outhouse had an incredible view as well. Just imagine sitting in an outhouse without a door, looking out at this incredible mountainscape in front of you, just awaiting your next ski day. Every detail was to the nines there. They were so good about making everybody feel welcome and included and making sure all skill sets were addressed in terms of like skiing ability. And I don't even know if I've laughed so hard. We had so much fun and tons of varied terrain, big open stuff and some glacier travel as well as some tree skiing and just all around great memories. So that's my best backcountry story.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of Mountain Escapes, a backcountry podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I'll be back soon with another episode going deep into the backcountry through stories of folks like Jasmine from Valhalla Mountain Touring. This podcast is funded in part by members of the Backcountry Lodges of BC Association and hosted by me, Brad Harrison.